Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Okay, so if you were sitting around thinking, you know what I really need to get me in the Christmas spirit is a big old bowl of vanilla ice cream, then have I got the Christmas movie for you.
Oh, yeah. Plain Jane in cinema.
Yeah. So this is named Snowbound for Christmas. So I like that they actually just went and named it the trope that basically at least half of the movies have anyway.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, they were upfront with what's going on.
Yep. We're going to get snowbound and that's going to happen. Yep. So I think they were going for a modern sort of take on these kinds of specials.
True. Yeah. I mean, there was also various more modern tropes that they added. But
yeah. And it's like a little slicker. It's not like it offended me, but I...
It was so right. It towed the line the whole time.
Yeah, walked ask me next week about it, and I will have no idea.
Yeah, same.
I will not be able to say anything. Okay, so we open in a firm that we don't learn right away, but basically what they do is they restore...
properties.
Yeah, so if something was a castle or something was a chalet or something was an old, beautiful hotel, they bring it back to its glory. Its
right, if it was shut down or something happened to it, they would buy the property and, like Deirdre said, modernize it.
Yeah, so we meet immediately during this meeting at this firm. We meet all of our main players for the most part, and the owner of the company, Adrian, is clearly going to be the man in the movie.
Yep.
And then you're like, who's going to be the girl? Because it might be Rachel. She's the spunky new marketing director they just hired.
Correct. She walks in, put her stuff down, and immediately Adrian's like, well, we have a meeting right now.
Yep. So she is right in. She's been brought into the firm by her good, spunky ginger friend.
Do we have her name? Natalie.
Natalie. What a great name for a ginger. The friend is always a ginger. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So Natalie's the friend. She's, I don't know, the administrative assistant or something. I don't know what she does there.
Who knows?
But anyway, she brought in Rachel, and then we meet Diane. Now, Diane is an icy blonde, probably, I don't know, German or Icelandic of some sort.
She's European.
She's got a, not just European, though, like Icelandic.
Cold. Scandinavian.
Yeah, so cold, sharp accent, tightly bound blonde hair, ice queen.
Yes.
And we learn really early that her and Adrian used to have a thing.
Oh, yeah. No, they weren't shy about that.
Yeah, and she's the fancy architect person. So the two of them typically pitch these ideas, right? So she thinks, ugh, we don't need Rachel. What's up with Rachel? Well, turns out they start right in with they are bidding for this villa in Tuscany, and they are hoping to get it, and... in, what is it, an hour or two or one night or whatever, she pulls together this.
Yeah, so the owner of the Tuscany property is flying to the United States, coincidentally, to the hotel that they just, like, this company had just purchased. And
I think they probably invited him to that, right?
Because
they
could be it.
So this company previous to the movie has pulled together this beautiful hotel. Where was the hotel?
I don't know if they actually
did. They
said
ever
it.
Even say it? They just said it was fancy.
It was.
Right?
I mean, it's in a place that snows a lot.
Yeah, and so they're going to meet him there, and it's supposed to just be Adrian, Diane, and whoever this Tuscany dude is, right?
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, but you know, nobody's really sure whether Rachel is even necessary to the whole operation because spunky redhead talked him into hiring her. What do we need a marketing person for?
Marketing director.
Yeah. And they keep using air quotes when they talk about marketing, like, because marketing is some type of nonsense big picture. So funny. Right. They've created a controversy that doesn't actually exist.
Right.
Like these bare-bone building people who like the nuts and bolts don't understand the big picture, but somehow spunky redhead Natalie has convinced them they need a big picture person. They hire Rachel. In one night, she pulls together some type
this
of presentation.
Actually really impressive, like...
Yeah, like marketing presentation. Yeah. And he's like, hell yeah, maybe we do need a marketing person. Diane's like, oh no, I've got competition.
Yep.
And he decides that the three of them
right.
are going to go and do this pitch. Because
it's always been Diana and Adrian that go yeah, to these meetings.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah. Like but Deirdre Rachel's going to jump in because she is the marketing guru.
Correct. Because right? the other six employees just don't do anything. Thing.
Yeah, I don't know what they do, but they do some stuff. Yeah. But so anyway, the three of them go off. They drive together to in his SUV. So we know they're
Which
all in one
lime,
car.
Lime green,
I guess.
Color?
I don't know. The whole point is they're all in the same car.
Right.
So they get to this place. It's been beautifully renovated. It's run for no. Oh, is it in Paris? Did they say Could it was be. It? I think they said it might have been in Paris. Yes.
Well, I mean, that explains a lot then.
Right. They were going to meet in Paris, right? So where the hell is their company located that they could drive to Paris?
Oh, that's a good point. Because then they, I mean, this isn't a spoiler, but then they go to Vail.
Right. I have no idea. So, okay. So that's
maybe Paris is in Ohio.
Who knows? That's on the list of things they don't explain.
Right.
So the guy running the hotel, sort of the manager dude, is French.
Very French.
Yes, very French. Although not at all. He's really a guy from Kids in the Hall.
It's Scott Thompson from Kids in the
yeah,
Hall.
Yeah, and he's got a somewhat fleeting French accent. It comes and goes.
Right. It's the comedic version of a French accent yeah. that he drops mm-hmm. that, like that.
Yeah, and occasionally goes away. So turns out they're the first and only guests in the hotel right now.
Yep.
Because they wanted it to be special just for them because they renovated the building.
And they wanted to show off to the
yep.
Tuscany guy.
Yep. So all of the other guests are coming the next day. Tuscany guy will come at some point in the right. next morning.
Oh, it should also... We're before this whole trip, we... the lead actress, Rachel, it is now known that she will not be spending Christmas with her parents.
Oh, yeah. So this will only be the second year. I think that's hilarious. Instead of saying it was the first year, it's arbitrarily the second year.
Right.
So it's the second year of her whole life not spending it with her parents, right. where they do this thing where in February they go on a trip together and celebrate then.
They go skiing.
Yeah. So we know it's their second year because she references how sad and lonely she was last year. So I guess that's why it had to be a second year, because she had to know that she was going to be lonely.
I guess so.
I don't know.
For that specific line, yes.
Right. Because she's a single independent gal on her own.
Right. Well, it comes into play later.
But her parents are like these perfect looking
right.
parents.
Right. They have a very beautiful woman in a white wig.
Yes. By the way, it should be noted, or maybe it shouldn't be noted, but her whole family is a family of people of color.
Yep.
And Ice Queen is white as white can be.
Yep.
So I think that's interesting. They have made them the classiest, like fanciest black people you've ever yep. seen. Like, look, we're not being racist.
Right.
And
as Deirdre pointed out, I mean, when anyone was talking on speakerphone in this movie, they did the thing where they don't put the phone to their face. They hold the phone out and just lean their
in.
Head.
Yeah.
Lean mm-hmm. into the mm-hmm. speakerphone.
So the perfectly outfitted, coiffed family is not going to spend Christmas together. So
right.
so we're sad about that. Okay. So we're back at the hotel. No guests, just them. And there's already trouble a-brewing between Diane and Rachel. They're feeling very competitive with each other.
Yeah, the competition yeah. is mm-hmm. fierce. It's heavy.
Yep.
Cut and the tension with a knife.
Rachel has made sure she has the room right next door to Adrian. And she clearly already has some feelings for him. And they're bonding. Well.
Oh, wait. We got to touch upon the dog sled for no reason. Before they left... On this trip, there was a team building workshop.
Again, for no reason.
Right.
Except to show the two of them bonding.
Right. And the team building was just dog sledding and eating sandwiches.
So, you know, like when your company makes you go on one of those rope things where
Retreats.
You climb
yeah.
and you, or a trust thing where you go in the middle of the woods and you fall and catch each other or whatever. It was one of those.
Right.
But it was dog sledding. And Rachel and Adrian were on one dog sled together because they both love dogs. And Diane, who didn't know what to do with the dog, was, who was she with?
Just some old rando.
I don't know. Some other person.
Just a rando.
Yeah, just a rando. So I guess that was just their way of saying they're bonding, yeah. Right? I thought it was going to be a bigger thing. Right.
Well, there was a quick shot where the boss, Adrian, was putting on a shirt in front of everyone.
Oh, yeah. So it was an opportunity for us to see his abs.
It was an ab shot?
Yeah, it was a gratuitous ab shot. So, when he got changed for the whole, because he forgot they were going.
Correct.
Right.
So I just had to interject that quick.
I know. I forgot about that. So that's how they bonded. So that's where their relationship has begun, is on the dog sled.
Yep.
So now we're in the hotel. Diana is like not taking any chances. She is playing dirty pool and making sure she is front and center. However, as luck would have it,
the first wrench getting thrown in.
Yes. Twist of fate. Turns out that there are also cabins on this property that have not been renovated.
Right.
A whole section of land, acres and acres of land.
On the other side of the mountain.
On the other side of the mountain.
Which is still owned by the hotel, which was put together by this mysterious Sarah that no one knows.
Yeah, we never meet Sarah, but
she gets name dropped every
Yeah, so Sarah 20 minutes. Wants to talk about maybe redoing all of the cabins Correct. As well. And so they're going to send their architect out to meet with Sarah. And who's picking her up?
Diane.
Yes. Well,
Fred.
Fred. Right. So Fred is going to pick her up. We think Fred's maybe going to be some old dude.
Yeah. Close your eyes and picture a Fred.
Right.
That's what we thought.
Fred's going to pick her up and take her out into the wilderness where she'll meet up with Sarah. They'll look at the cabins and they'll come up with a plan. Well, with her being the architect and all. Right. By the way, she has spent the whole movie saying that she's the only important one and the person with the real knowledge, not Rachel. So Correct. She can't even complain and ask for Rachel to be sent. So Diane is going to go out and meet Sarah, accompanied by Ed.
Fred,
Ed. See, vanilla movie. Vanilla. So off they go first thing in the morning.
Yep.
Yeah. So Adrian and Rachel are at the breakfast table alone, giddy, like little kids giggling, not even sure what to do with each other. And what is happening outside?
There's a couple of establishing shots where, strangely enough, it's snowing.
Oh, my God. It's snowing. And it's snowing hard.
Blizzard.
By the way, they show the same window shot every time they reference it. It's like they could only pay for one clip or they only took one.
Right. They paid for the same. They paid for 1 5-second clip of snow falling in the mountains and just put plastered it everywhere.
Or the camera guy only took one shot. It reminds like me of Brendan and I doing early video projects where we didn't shoot enough B-roll and having to use the same stuff over and over again.
Yep.
That's exactly what it seemed like. Okay, so it's snowing. I'm sure you guys see where this is going. Everybody gets snowbound, right?
Yep.
Everybody gets snowbound. So they're about to meet with this guy. This is a expository opportunity for Rachel to find out that Adrian is really nervous and not the cool, collected person we think Correct. He is. He's also whittles when he's nervous. Yep, arbitrary fact.
Whittling right? as in clipping wood to shape it into various objects.
Like with a little knife and carving wood. And so she wishes they had wood right there to calm him down, but they don't. But luckily, the guy's not coming. Because the roads are closed and he can't get there. That also means that Diane is out in the woods. Nobody seems concerned about her. In fact, French maitre d' basically says, Fred's good with the outdoors. He'll take care of her.
Jean-Luc said, the driver confirmed that Fred met up with Diane and Fred is an outdoorsman. So
they're
she's
all
in
set.
Good hands.
Yeah, even though the cabins are remote and have no electricity and have no heat or
no
whatever.
No plumbing.
Yeah, nobody's worried. Nobody's worried at all. Fred will take care of it.
Fred's
right.
the man.
Right. So we immediately get to see Diane throwing her prima donna hissy fit in the cabin.
Right. I mean, the cabin isn't bad.
No, but it doesn't have any heat or anything. Right. And she's not equipped. And there's an outhouse. So she's all put out.
But it also turns out Fred is a very attractive
goddamn handsome as frig. Really, really good looking dude. Right.
And immediately goes to the furnace and cleaning it.
Oh, yeah. He's an outdoors man. He serves her a spam later because that's what's in the cabinet. So they're having a real rural experience. She is bent out of shape. Meanwhile, back at the hotel, The entire staff is just catering to Rachel and Adrian and creating basically a romantic, like, explosion. Yeah, right. Experience. By the way, I lost count of the music montages. Like, every 2 seconds, it was a music montage. Like, yep. This is them spending their day together and falling in love. This is her getting ready. This is
first part of the day, they were spent apart. Like, Rachel would do yoga while Adrian was in a
sauna.
Soaking
in the hot tub or in the sauna. But then they ended up in the spa at the same time. Coincidence. And guess what's the only room they had open?
The couple's room.
The couple's massage room. So this is a rated G movie. So the closest we came to any sexual action was them moaning on the massage beds, which was hilarious.
It was the shot where, you know, the pillow where
the face the through
ring,
the loop.
Yeah, the ring pillow, your face down, and it was looking up right at them during that.
Moaning, right? So just in case we didn't get that they were.
We had to paint that picture since we had to see it.
Yeah. So then near the end of their perfect day, they dance together and they have their almost kiss. Oh, no, they had their almost kiss before the dance. They were sitting in front of the fire because, of course, the electricity went out for no reason.
Right. They were having dinner. Mm-hmm. Well, they had the
they were done with dinner. So dessert was about to be dessert time.
Right.
And then the electricity goes out.
Yep.
And so that means that they have to move them to another spot. I have no idea why, but they put them in front of a fireplace. They literally said, we need to move you to another spot.
Well, the joke was Jean-Luc said, we had to replace you.
Yes.
And that led to some confusion because, you know, the French guy doesn't know his English very well. LOL.
Yeah, it was very hilarious. So they put them in front of the fireplace. They're just about to kiss because I don't know if you've been following. But there's always the almost kiss before the real kiss.
Correct.
So this was the almost kiss.
They lean in and then zap, the power comes back up.
And dessert is served.
Right.
And so she runs off to freshen up.
As one does. They said, well, we have to have our after dessert drinks.
Mm-hmm. But she needs to freshen up.
Right. But they didn't have the dessert. They were just served. And then everyone gets up and walks away.
Yes. So she goes off to freshen up. And we have another musical montage as she freshens up. By the way, when she's back at the bar, she's wearing the exact same outfit. So I don't know
Not much of a change.
Did you have to pee? Did she have
I mean, she walked in.
She
and
probably had to poop. And she didn't want to do it in the bathroom near him.
Drop a number two.
Yeah. Freshen up. Yep.
Well,
so,
I mean, when she walked into her hotel, she was very excited that there was a connection there and seemed mutual. So she was stoked about that. And then.
Yeah. So she freshens up. She's at the bar. They're having drinks. He asks her to dance, which is another trope where there's no dance floor, nobody else dancing. And
there wasn't any music playing.
Right. Until they started dancing.
Right. And then they cut to them dancing and the music just happened.
They also were the worst dancers ever. They were just rocking back and forth.
I mean, it was a high school dance type dance.
So then we have the, we must, no, we can't, like, switcheroony thing that happens, right? So whenever there's the couple that we're not expecting or weren't expecting to be a couple, one of them's always into it and the other one's like, no, we mustn't. And then the no, we mustn't gets into it and the other person's like, no way. So the first one happens on the dance floor.
Well, because they do kiss at that point.
Mm-hmm. They kiss and she's like, this is going to be complicated, but I'm totally into it. And he's like, complicated? Oh, my God. I just realized that you work for me. Oh, no. And he runs away.
Right. Because I think the flashbacks of previously dating a subordinate flashed through his head.
Yep.
And then they parted ways for the night.
And we see lots of musical montage of them spending the night lonely and sad. And
laying in bed.
And he's like, damn it. Right. Yeah. By the way, they were dressed to the nines for dinner all by themselves in the hotel. So that
happened too. Nice tailored suit and a very beautiful gown, red dress. Yeah. Meanwhile, Diane was eating Spam.
Spam. Yep.
Trying to look and found salt for the Spam.
So very exciting in the cabin.
And Fred was basically saying that she was self-centered and she was like, no, I'm not. And then Fred goes, well, ask me about myself and you can get to know me.
And she does. And he says,
I don't remember.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, there we go.
Right. So
I totally did not remember that.
Yeah. There's a lot not memorable about this. Okay. So that's the first, no, I can, no, you have to. And then he's comes to his senses. So the next day he's like trying to make up for it. He takes her skiing. They have hot chocolate that's somehow out.
Well, he knocks on the morning starts by him knocking on her hotel door. She's still in her pajamas and he's dressed all warm. He's like, I want to take you out.
Yeah, like, forget last night even happened.
Right, and then runs away like a little kid.
Right, so they go skiing, and they have Frolic in the Snow, another musical montage.
Yep.
And then they show up in this room, a ski lodge, I don't know, it was a building with a room. I'm not sure.
But there was hot chocolate.
There was hot chocolate waiting for them, even though there's still no other guests at the hotel. Right. So then a French dude comes in and says, lunch is served, and they realize this is going to be their last meal because the roads are open before other people get there.
Correct.
So they have a somewhat romantic meal. They're still talking about should we, shouldn't we, should we, shouldn't we, when who comes back?
Diane.
Oh, no. And she is so pissed off about what happened. She wants to get out of there ASAP.
She's ready to split.
She's ready to go. So off they go.
Back in his lime green Jeep.
Yep. The next thing we know, we're back in an office shot, and Adrian and Diane are not there because they've gone to Vail to do the pitch that got postponed.
Right.
Right.
Oh, so, yeah, in the car, Diane gets the call. Or they get the call that they were invited to meet with this Tuscany guy in Vail.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out Diane only gave the ticket booking information for herself and for Adrian and left poor Rachel out in the dust.
Yeah, so Rachel doesn't get to go on this trip. So, but good thing she's back at the office because something goes wrong and they need a different presentation.
Yeah, she gets emergency pop-up emails.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is a reference back. It wasn't done well, but Diane kept saying like her nuts and bolts stuff was really what they needed.
The more technical measurement type thing.
And, you know, Rachel is the big picture person. And I think when they were out there with just the technical stuff, the person wanted big picture.
Right. So Adrian tried to word it that the presentation they gave everyone loved, but they needed another version of it that focused mostly on specs and the technical architectural side of things.
So off goes Rachel and the whole crew.
The other four?
Yeah, and they stay up all night and create this amazing presentation.
Except for the one guy who passes out at 11.
Yes, he does. They make several comedic references to him being asleep on the desk. All of this culminates with the Christmas party, the holiday Christmas party, which Rachel, for no reason other than, I don't know, plot device has been given the job of putting on and creating and planning.
If you see The Office and there's the party planning committee, that's this version, except for it's one person.
Yeah. So the party's in full swing when Diane and Adrian arrive back and deliver the wonderful news that they got the Tuscany deal.
And there's the subtle inference because Diane was holding arms with Adrian.
Are they a couple or are they not a couple? Well, we're going to find out soon enough because Rachel's at the bar having a drink and along comes Diane and says, hey, no hard feelings. While we were in Vail, we decided to totally hook back up. We're a thing again.
We talked about our relationship.
Yeah, we're giving it another try. And so sorry, I know you thought you had a connection back at the other place. But see ya. Thanks, bye.
And Rachel handles it very well. It's like, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. And then leaves the party immediately.
Because she has a cold.
Yes, she doesn't really. It's a lie. So she's back home being sad and lonely. And Adrian's wondering what the hell went on. There's lots and lots of text messages to her. There's a lot of references that she's alone on the holidays. Redhead Natalie is like trying to get her to hang out with her.
Right.
No doing. In the meantime, Adrian sends her some chocolates. And she's like, fine, I'll call him because he's been, you know.
Right.
And he is alone in his apartment and super excited to hear from her. And she's basically like, yeah, so thank you for the chocolates and
good luck with your life.
Good luck with everything. And I guess we'll just be working together.
And if you need to replace me, I totally understand.
Yeah. And I'll see you in the new year. And he's like, what just happened
there? And meanwhile, Rachel also calls her folks and basically says, I met this guy.
Adrian broke my heart.
My boss was a total D-bag. Yeah. And
tells them the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now it's Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Rachel hears a knock on the door and you think, ooh, is it going to be Adrian? Nope.
It's her parents.
It's her parents. Surprising. Because they felt bad because she was sad and alone. And so they're like, yeah, we're here. So they're having their little reunion and there's another knock. This time it is Adrian.
Well, we got to say Adrian, there was a montage of Adrian using his
whittling tools. He was carving. By the way, what's hilarious is the snowflake that they had him carve and put in a box, presumably as a present to her. You can buy like in the center part of any mall right now in one of those wood laser cut places. It was literally one of those snowflakes. Like the prop guy went out and bought a laser cut snowflake. Right.
And if you've never seen a whittle, it looks like a potato peeler just on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the detail that the snowflake.
There's no way you couldn't have whittled this snowflake. So anyway, so he's going to bring his little creation over. He shows up at the door. She's like,
well, the dad opens the door.
Yeah, and he and storms looks at, away. Looks he's at so him, mad.
His scowls and walks
how
away.
Dare you break my girl's heart?
He the dad knew who he was immediately.
Right. By the way, they're neighbor. In a tiny little apartment because she lives in a little apartment, like with a little kitchenette, and so he needs to have a talk with her and find out what the hell happened. Right. So the parents try to make themselves scarce, but what that means is they just go in the kitchenette. So the whole shot of Rachel and Adrian talking has the parents creepily in the background as if they're watching them.
It's a back and forth, like an interview. It goes back and forth. And when the camera's on Adrian, because the camera's facing the kitchen, you just see this hulking guy just standing in the background. Dad,
he's a stalker, right?
Yeah, it was creepy.
So they find out there's no real explanation as to why Diane lied or why she walked in on his arm. But basically, he's like, that never happened. And I think you're fantastic. And here's a snowflake I whittled. And there's a big messy makeout right with the parents right there.
Right,
and
so, right in front of mom and dad. Why not?
Yeah. So now it's like, what are we going to do about Christmas? Because his parents are coming from Vermont.
Yep. And Rachel's like, you got to go.
Her parents are already here. Right. Oh, I've got an idea.
What?
Why don't we all go to the inn that may or may not be in Paris, but clearly isn't because...
Right, that just got a whole bunch of guests, but has an open table.
Yes, and let's all go there and let Frenchie McFrencherson serve us our fancy dinner.
Right.
Right? And so at that fancy dinner, Adrian pulls Rachel up and brings her to the end of the table, like out of her seat and to the end of the table, which is sort of a long rectangular.
I just, before we go into this, let's go back to... Christmas wedding planner where the two get engaged immediately. Because I referenced that because that's the bar.
Yeah. So that's what it looked like was going to happen. Right. Like we're like, he is not going to ask her to marry. They barely know each other.
Right. But yeah.
But he pulls her out and he they stand like they're holding like on hands. A stage, like sort of at the end of the table, like they've got an announcement to make. And he basically says, I love you.
And he says it in a way that you would tell someone that you've been dating for a couple of months.
Yes. And then she says she loves him. And again, they start making out for apparently the entertainment of their entire family.
The two families plus all the guests that are at the hotel. Yes. Plus the French guy. Plus the chef.
Not sure why that had to happen at that moment, but it did. So epilogue scene, we are back in the office and it's the new year and they're super smoochy and not hiding, by the way, their office romance at all. Natalie is like, psyched.
Oh, that's right.
Natalie's Rachel... like, what's going on, Rach? And then she's like, oh, I don't know. And then Adrian comes over
the creepiest scene. Adrian walks over, hugs her from behind and kisses her on the cheek.
Like, this is what's going on. We're like, gross.
It's cool to show affection like that, but
when you're the boss and this is the head of marketing,
the way it was shot
it was creepy.
Yeah.
And then along comes Diane and she's icy queen again and super pissed and like, well, fuck you guys.
I mean, her hair is down at this point. Yes. So and you know something's going on.
Storming off. She's very mad. Like, I hope you have a wonderful life kind of thing. And then who walks in?
Fred!
We don't know why or how. We're assuming she called him, but there's really no reference to why he walks into the company right at that moment. And she says, I am done with you, Adrian. I found myself a real man. And then she grabs him and smooches him, and he wishes everybody a happy new year. End of movie. What I really would have liked to have seen, because he was wearing plaid through the whole, like, so many, like, stereotypes. He was wearing a plaid flannel because he's Fred the Outdoor Guy. I really wanted him to break into, "I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay." I think that would have been a better way to end.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, that might have happened in the last movie with Father Christmas.
So just so you know, I will forget this by tomorrow.
Same.
This is the blandest, like, so whitewash, no personality.
If you wanted to make the safest movie ever that you know exactly the audience it's for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically the amount of money that you're going to make from it. And
Put this on your big screen TV in the background during a Christmas party and you'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lots of musical montages to keep, you know, the Christmas spirit going.
The music's very poppy, so everyone will
there's be and bopping it's their heads very Christmassy. Lots of Christmas sweaters and Christmas decorations and things like that.
It definitely felt like Christmas.
I would like an explanation as to why the gift shop in the hotel had a whittler's knife.
Yeah, specifically.
Like, why that?
Yeah, I mean, the hotel was pretty high class.
But, you know, so, you never know when somebody's going to need to whittle in the middle of their stay.
Right, because, well, if the power goes out as frequently as we think it does, you might want to whittle a spear to hunt your food.
You might. So that makes sense. Right. I feel better now.
It's probably under Fred's recommendation that they got whittles.
Yes. Okay, so on that note, I'm going to stuff my face with marshmallows.
But what do you rate it?
Oh, God. I feel like I'm not rating this one because it doesn't exist for me. So there's no rating. It's a blank.
So I'm going to give it a 1 just because it exists.
Barely. It barely exists.
But on the plane that it didn't do any, its only offense was that there was nothing offensive about it. Like it didn't.
I'm offended by its unoffensiveness.
Well, I think we're saying the same thing, just in different ways.
All right. On that note, I don't know. I'm going to go jingle some bells, eat some marshmallows, and go to bed, drown my sorrows.
Go Raiders.